Today's reading is on page 1077. It's John chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 and 17 to 44. It's on 1077. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Then he said this. Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Somebody has said that the key to the Gospel of John is hanging at the back door. By that they meant, if you really want to grasp what this book is all about, you must grasp why it was written. And that key is found in John chapter 20, verse 31, where John says there were many things that Jesus did that are not recorded in this book. But then he says this verse 31, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So all that is written here is written so that we might believe. And by believing, we would have life in Christ. Believe is such a key word in this Gospel of John. It's there over and over again. I don't know if that jumped out at you this morning when Liam was reading that passage. Time and time again, it was believe. Believe. "Do you believe?" he asked Martha. And so as we come to it this morning, it challenges our own hearts. Do I really believe what is written here. We all face times of sadness in our lives, times of crisis. Can I just bring to you three lessons that I've sort of seen in this passage this morning and share them with you? And they are lessons not just for times of great trial and testing, but they are lessons, it seems to me, for life itself, whether things are going well or things are going really tough. Here are three principles for life. But John is saying, hold on to these things. Believe these things. Live your life in the light of what we see here. And here is the first point. God loves you. God loves you. Three times in this portion, we are reminded that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. When the message first arrived, it was, Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. We go down to verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We go down to verse 36. When Jesus at the grave weeps, and the mourners, the Jews around, said, oh, see how he loved him. So the emphasis is on this truth, that Jesus loved these people. And when we take the broader sweep of Scripture, we find that what is written here of Mary and Martha and Lazarus is written of you. God loves you. No matter what is happening, no matter if it's a good day or a bad day, whether it's times of exceeding joy or times of deep sadness, God loves you. There never was a time when he started to love you. There will never be a time when he ceases to love you. His is an everlasting love. He would say to his people in the Old Testament, people who spurned him and went their own way, I would draw you back to myself with cords of love. I would pursue you. Love. See, and at times of great sadness and times of loss, it's natural for us to think along these lines. But I loved God. I sought to serve him. I sought to help. I sought to give him what I could. I didn't hold back. I loved him. I loved God. And we tend to focus on our love for him. And that causes us all sorts of problems why this is happening. But it's not so much our love for him that he wants us to focus on. He wants us to focus on his love for us, which is hard, which is difficult. Times like this. But he brings it to us and he repeats it and he says, I love them. I love you. And see, sometimes when we're in times like this, we concentrate on our love for him. And we say, this shouldn't be happening to me because I love God. Or on the other hand, conversely, we might think, it's because I don't love him enough. And this is why this is happening to me. Or it may be for that incident that took place in my life, and I know I let him down, and I know I did the wrong thing. And this is why it's happening for me, because I failed him. That's a natural reaction. But God is trying to train us here in the spiritual life and say, no, you're not to think like that. Try and think and focus on my love for you and the evidences that there are that I love you. That's the first point. The second point is this. We are to remember, as we see in this passage, that God's ways are not our ways. Yes, he loves us, but to remember too that his ways are not our ways. We might think, well, if he loved Lazarus and Mary, why did this happen? Why did he stay 2 more days where he was across the Jordan instead of rushing back to be with them? Or why wasn't he there? If he is God, why wasn't he there in the first place to stop it from happening? Ah, God's ways are not our ways. When Jesus met Martha, she said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, why weren't you here? Why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you heal him? Mary's in the house, and word is sent to Mary, Mary, the teacher is here. So Mary comes rushing out to meet Jesus. And she gets up and she, what's the first word she says to him? Lord, if you had not been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Exactly the same thing. And when they're at the tomb, the Jews, the mourners say, well, he opened the eyes of the blind. He healed people. They came to him and he healed them and he blessed them. Perhaps they even mentioned the time when he was coming out of the city and there was the burial party. And a young man was being buried and he touched the coffin and it was life. Or what about Jairus' daughter? He came and she lived. And you can imagine the conversation in the home of Mary and Martha. Why? Like if he is so great and so mighty, why? Why has this happened? Now we know the end from the beginning. But you imagine being in the situation with them. And the lesson here is for us. Remember, God is far bigger than us. Do we want a God that we can fully work out and comprehend and understand? Or will we believe in faith that our God is far bigger than our thinking, far bigger than our intellect, far bigger than our comprehension? And the challenge to us as believers is this, to believe that And even when we cannot understand what is happening, Mary, Martha, you Jews around the tomb, I can do all these things. But I am doing something here that results in praise and worship and glory to God. We dare to believe that in our lives, in our circumstances. Remember that God is bigger than our understanding. As he said in Isaiah chapter 55, as the rain comes down from heaven, descends on the earth and waters it, and so on and so on. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. A God who works out everything according to the counsel of his own will. A God who sees from beginning to end. A God who is Alpha and Omega. A God who sees it all. And in all things. And I know I stand here and I really believe this, and I preach it, and it's true, it's the truth. But I know it's difficult when we're in those tough places. But he calls upon us to just put our hand in his and to trust him, even though we cannot understand. And the third point is this. Remember that in Christ you have everything you need. Everything. In Jesus we have everything. He is the complete answer to everything. We've all, I'm sure, been through times of loss. And it's great to have a friend. It's great to have a shoulder to cry on. It's great to have a listening ear so that we can talk about it. And we know that they are listening and they are hearing and they are understanding in part what we are trying to verbalize. It's great to have all that, and we need that, and we must be there in those situations. But over and above all that, we need Christ. We need him. And Jesus said to her, Martha, I am. And we can't overlook that. That is his name. I am. And in John, he has given us some great I am statements. He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the good shepherd. And here he is saying, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And see, at times of crisis, we tend to perhaps live in the past. We want to go back to the past, but his name isn't I was. And yes, we believe that one day it will all be okay, and we will be in glory, and everything will be perfect then. But his name is not I will be. His name is I am right now. I am what I always am. I am in the past, I am in the future, but I am right now too. And I will be all that you need. I am the resurrection and the life. Without him, there is no resurrection. It's an exclusive statement. Without him, there is no life. He is the source of life. John, in his prologue, he said, in him was life. Only in him. And that life was the light of men. He is all that he needs. And he brings this perspective on the situation. That he is all that we need for now and for eternity. That's the picture. And that's the picture he wants us to grasp. God loves us with an indescribable love. God is far bigger than we can comprehend. And God has given us Jesus, who is all that we need. He turned to Martha and he said, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Or may we live our lives in the light of these great truths from Scripture. That yes, they don't take away the grief. We still mourn, but we do not mourn as others, because he is the resurrection and the life. And we know that for sure because he rose again the third day. And just like he did, those who believe will. So the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning.